Do you feel love this morning? That last song, love never fails and love never gives up. Do you know that God loves you? I don't know why you're here, if you're here for visiting, but the sermon that God has laid on my heart was a month in planning. So you're not here by accident. You're not here because you just happen to be in town and come to church here at Maranatha. God brought you here this morning to hear something from His Word that was put on my heart over a month ago. So you won't have much PowerPoint up behind. There'll be some scripture verses. I kind of threw that out the door this morning, so you won't have any of that. And I don't know why God asked me to do that, but I did. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to 1 Peter. I'm going to lay some groundwork here first. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. I'm going to read this and then we're going to pray. I'm reading out of the New King James Version here this morning. And if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but you were purchased with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. For He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made revealed in these last times for you, who through Him believed in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and your hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not out of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the Word of God which lives and abides forever. Because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower fails away, but the Word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the Word which by the Gospel was preached unto you. I'd like to bow your heads, and I want to ask God to open our eyes this morning to a very, very real truth that is very vital to each one of us if we are truly born again. Sure. Amen. Okay, we'll pray for that. Let's bow our heads. Father, your ways are not our ways. Your thoughts are not our thoughts. These four young children, before the foundation of the world, you knew them. You knew where they were going to be at this morning. You knew they'd be in foster care.
You love them, Father. Just as each one of us who are sitting here this morning, standing here, or in this building, you loved us. Father, I need your help this morning. Father, we want to taste and see your goodness and your grace. Father, I'm asking you to send your Holy Spirit. On each heart. Father, I tremble that I have to bring forth your word this morning. You knew each person that would be here. And you know where their heart is with you. I don't. I ask this, Father, in your Son Jesus' name. That name that's above all names. Amen. Go to chapter 2. You see all that we just read. That Jesus was foreordained before the foundation of the world. He was the precious blood was shed for you and for me. You know, in 2015, if I told you right now that last night, as I asked God and I lay here, will you show me and open my eyes what it really means to believe in you? And that Jesus came and he said to me last night that in 2015, God would come back. And it would be on such and such date at such and such time. And I told you that this morning. Would you believe me? Everybody's shaking their head no. Why? Ah. Why do you believe that? Ah. I hope that's what you leave here this morning. That you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. That He died on the cross for you. And that He was buried and rose again. And is now sitting at the right hand of the Father. He did some things here in chapter 2 and he shares some things with us that has just rocked my world. And I hope that you can get that picture this morning. Because if I told you the same thing and if I gave you a candle in your hand and I told you to stick your hand in the fire and I said it wouldn't be hot, would you do it? No, because you've experienced heat before, right? You know that that candle is hot. Well, that's what I want you to leave here this morning. I want you to leave here this morning that you've experienced Jesus. And you've experienced Him in such a way that when you leave here in 2015, it changes the way you live. Because this is what it says here. Jesus was paid the price. He's precious blood of Christ. The Lamb was without blemish and without spot. It says, therefore, laying aside all malice, which is naughtiness or wickedness, all deceit, which is trickery or craftiness, lay aside hypocrisy. Don't be a hypocrite. Lay aside all envy and all evil speaking or conversation. As a newborn baby craves the pure milk of the Word that you may grow thereby. We're going to have some babies here in 2015. They're all over Facebook. Congratulations to all of you who announced that at Christmas. I thought that was pretty cool. Those babies will just desire milk. You can put peas in their mouth at a very young age and they'll spit them out. You might even spit them out now. But those babies will crave the milk. Do you understand what that Word of God is saying here? Do you love this book? Do you crave it? Do you desire it? If indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now the word tasted there means experienced. What have you experienced Jesus doing in your life? You may be sitting back here this morning. You may have sang those songs or listened to them sang and said, I don't know. The love of Jesus. Never tasted that. Never experienced it. Verse 4. Coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed of men and chosen of God and precious. Do you realize that the very man who died on the cross for you and for me is God's favorite, chosen one? And He is so precious to Him. So the night before Jesus was hanged on the cross. And he wrestled with his Father and said, Father, take this cup from me. That's the very person who is precious to God.
You are as living stones, are being built up into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ.
I want to talk to you a little bit about a stone. You know, stones, these aren't little stones. These are living and alive stones.
Hold on, I'll come back to that. Therefore, it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, favorite and precious, and he who believes on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient or disbelieving, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and he's become a stone of stumbling. And he's become a rock of offense. Those who disbelieve are being disobedient to the word, or they disbelieve this book, to which they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. In the old King James, it says a peculiar people. Here it should say a special people. The word procure means bought. See, in the early 1850s, we don't have a clue what that means like, but in the 1850s of our country here, there's a story told of an Englishman who came from England to the gold fields of California. And he went there to make his fortune. And after he made all his money and profiting off the gold, and he turned around and he came back and he was going back to his country. And he passed through Louisiana, where they were selling slaves. And he was a tourist, so he, out of the country, came to the town where they were selling slaves, and they put a lady on the block. And a man watched as these men were bidding for this lady, talking about all the wickedness that they would do. It reviled him so much that he went to the auctioneer and paid twice, higher than anything anybody ever paid for a human being before. When she came down and took him off the platform, she spit in his face and said, I hate you. I hate you. He led her to a little office building without saying a word, walked behind the desk to a man there, and he began to tell him some things. The man began to argue with him. You can't do that. He said, yes, I can. It's the law. You do it. So the man wrote down on some paper. He again paid another fee. Turned around to the lady who was pretty angry with him. I mean, I guess I would be pretty angry too if someone tried to buy me. And he handed her these papers. And he said, these are your freedom papers. Emancipation papers. You're free to go. That lady said, no, they're not my freedom papers. Yes, they are. With tears in her eyes as she began to soften and realizing what this man had done for her. She said, you bought me to set me free? I said, yes, I bought you to set you free. But you paid twice. Anything that anybody has ever paid before for a person, you bought me to set me free. I said, yes, I bought you to set you free. A peculiar people. That's what Jesus did. The word peculiar means purchased. A bought people. You and I are bought. The precious blood of Jesus that was shed on that cross. No matter what sin you've done, no matter what
crimes you may have committed against him. You were bought to set you free. It doesn't stop there. To proclaim the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness. What darkness has Jesus freed you from? He's called you out of darkness into his wonderful, marvelous light. You were once not a people. You were nothing. I was nothing. But now am I somebody. I was brought with a price. Now go back to the verse where it talks about stones, living stones. You see, in the Old Testament, the stones were something that... Let me go back and read you one of those. I didn't give this to Harold and them back there, but if you go back and you have your Bibles, you can turn to Joshua chapter 24. And I want to read you something about a stone. You know, throughout the Old Testament, they would make memorials. They would take these stones. When they crossed the Jordan River, Joshua told them, stand in the river to the men carrying the Ark of the Covenant. He said, go get 12 stones. And these weren't just little stones. They had to carry them on their shoulders. So they were big stones. But in Joshua 24, 26 through 27, here's another illustration of a memorial or a stone. See, that's what a living stone is. Jesus Christ paid the price for you on Calvary. He bought you to set you free. Then we are called to live out of darkness into his marvelous light, to shine forth the praises of him, things that he's done for us. And I want you to look at your life. Remember when you were born again. When you became a follower of Jesus, when you said, I am choosing to follow Jesus, what supernatural thing has God done in your life that you can go back to and you can consistently see where God's changing your life day after day after day? And when the change stops, he comes along and disciplines you because you're not listening. You and I are living stones. We have been bought. Joshua 24. 26 and 27 says this. Well, I'll give you a little bit of illustration here, or a little bit of background behind it. God's telling his children, Israel, making a covenant with them. And in verse 20, it says, if you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, then he will turn and do you harm and consume you after he has done you good. So Joshua said to the people, you are witnesses against yourselves, that you have chosen the Lord for yourselves to serve him. And they said, all right, we are witnesses. Now therefore, he said, put away the foreign gods which are among you and incline your heart to the Lord God of Israel. And the people said to Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day and made for them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Then Joshua wrote these words in the book of the law of God. And he took a large stone and set it up under the oak that was by the sanctuary of the Lord. And Joshua said to all the people, behold, this stone shall be a witness to us, for it has heard all the words of the Lord, which he spoke to us. It shall therefore be a witness to you, lest you deny your God. You and I are living stones. If I were to go around this room today and ask each one of you, what has God done supernaturally in your life? Could you proclaim it? You see a picture that I see when I read this verse where it says that Jesus is the chief cornerstone. I'm not a builder. I don't think I've built too much stuff in my time, but those of you who are builders know that you start in the corners. Unless something's changed, I don't know those of you who laid block. it starts in the corner. Is that still correct? Still start in the corner and you put your string across and you lay your block. That chief cornerstone is Jesus Christ. Even though he's sitting on the right hand of the Father, as in Revelation 5, it says that he is there. He's the Lamb that paid the price for you and for me. He's sitting there. He's still at the chief, the cornerstone. He's still at the very base of our salvation, our foundation of our life, the lowest point. And if I were to picture each one of us as stones building up a spiritual house, I would see in 1984 when I said I wanted to follow Jesus. Yes, I didn't know all what it meant. So I was a newborn babe desiring the sincere milk of the Word. I was somebody who really craved God. And I saw all this, and I'm right here next to Jesus, and He's building me this firm foundation. But in 2015, if I'm still standing right here, I'm not moving, I'm not alive. Somebody else needs to fill that void as I move up. Because that's what Jesus did for us. He didn't die so that you and I could just, all right, I pray a prayer and I'm saved, as in some cultures they use baptism. The stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Those are things that you and I put our faith in more than we put our faith in Jesus Christ. You may say you got baptized. I'm good now. Maybe you said as a child, your parents baptized you as a child, I'm good now. No, that's not what it is. You have to have faith in Jesus Christ. And do you believe Jesus is precious? If Almighty God believes that Jesus is precious, if Almighty God believes that His own Son was precious enough to Him, but yet He was willing to give Him up to buy you and I back, shouldn't we believe Jesus is precious? The very Son of God died for you and for me. Do you believe Jesus is precious? Sometimes the way that I live my life out there, I would say that I don't believe Jesus is precious. And I didn't use this illustration a couple weeks ago when Lynn was teaching Sunday school class, but I'll use it now. because this is a practical, down-to-earth illustration of not holding Jesus precious. Because when we hold Jesus precious, we hold each other precious. You go back to in chapter 1 where it says, you have sincere love of the brethren. You love one another with a pure heart. There's nothing that grates me more deep down inside is when someone returns something that there's nothing wrong with. Like you bought it, paid for it, don't return it. And I had a customer who returned something and it was only $2.99. But there was nothing wrong with it. And I proceeded to argue over $2.99 with a customer. I didn't love that person. I didn't see her through the eyes of Jesus. You see, when we are bought, when we really understand that, none of us can experience that. In today's world, we're talking like the lady who was bought off the auction block. We can't experience that in that way. But we can experience what Jesus has done for us. You can each look back in your own life and see where God has changed you. I can look back in my life and see where God has changed me. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Have you tasted Jesus today? Have you experienced Him? He died on that tree. Not only that, He went to hell for you. He went to hell. Pay the price for you and for me. Do you believe Jesus is precious to you? You know, on Facebook, I asked that question. Some of you responded. What is the one thing that pops to your mind when you think of precious? People responded back, babies. They responded with some other things too, but babies was the number one thing. Children. The Son of God, who died on the cross for you and for me, was the most precious thing that God had to offer up. And if you believe on Him, you too will believe He's precious. Going into 2015, that's the question I hope you leave here today, is how precious is Jesus to you? What are you willing to give up? I sat back there in the worship time and all I could do was cry. See what Jesus has done for me. What has He done for you? Now some of you may be sitting there saying, well, I don't know anything Jesus has done for me. Can anybody say that here this morning? Is there anybody here in here, I don't know what Jesus has done for me? You might be. You may be sitting here saying that. I don't know what Jesus has done for me. He hasn't showed up. I still battle with drugs. I still battle with alcohol. I still battle with sex. I still battle with pornography. He hasn't done anything for me. Wait a minute. He bought you, set you free. How much do you believe Jesus is precious to you? If you're sitting in here today and you are one of those people who are saying, well, Jesus hasn't done anything for me. He hasn't. I don't recognize that. Then please see me after church, because this book will show you what Jesus has done for you. And I would love the opportunity to spend time with you, even if it takes it all day, all night. I'll spend all night. I'll tell Lynn I'm not going to work all next week. Sorry, Lynn. Because I believe this book. As those of you who shook your head and said, no, Jesus would not have come to you in the middle of the night and said, hey, because you believe this book. Do you believe this book? Do you believe what it says about Jesus? And if you haven't sat through this and read through this book and believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then that's what I'm challenging you to do. And I will. I don't care if I skip meals. Because I believe that Jesus died on the cross for you. That you can be paid. The price was paid so that you can be free. I'm not the one who's going to free you. This will free you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Word of God, will free you. Not me. I will just help you, point you through the Word. And it may take a long time in praying, but it's worth it because He bought you to set you free. Worship team, come on up. I says, I don't have anything else. It's a shorter sermon this morning, but it's okay. How precious is Jesus to you? 2015, going into the new year. What are you going to change? You can't change anything. What is God going to do in your life? What change is He going to bring to you? That you will hold Him more precious to Him in your life. That you will take Jesus, the Son of God, the one who's sitting at the right hand of the Father, right now making intercession for you. He's praying for you right now. With groans that I can't even imagine. As we say, His word is not, His thoughts are not our thoughts. And like I said, you're here this morning not by chance. I don't know why God allowed this to be on my heart for a month. You were bought with a price. If you don't know Jesus this morning, the call has come. Come. Kenny? Amen. Yeah, you may struggle with fear this morning. What has Jesus done for you? Kitty? It's a good word. What has Jesus done for you? Is Jesus precious to you? Don't forget that. What else? Stand with us and sing. But the altar is always open. And I want you to know that my offer is a sincere offer. I sat right over there this morning and prayed. My prayer was this. God, let me be the servant that stands in the door of hell. Because hell's real. Very real. If you don't believe it's real,
Ask God to open your eyes. Let Him see you dangling over the pit of hell. If you don't know Jesus. And He will let you do that. But oh, Jesus paid that price. He bought you to set you free.